On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Safer Podcast Network. It is a busy time of year. We got the double portal season. Football just getting going in their short little 10-day window. We've got the basketball portal closing today on April 22nd at the time of recording. So last chance for those guys trying to get just one more year of eligibility to jump in. Also want to mention this show is presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. My guest today is Jackie Franchulli, who has been among the busiest in this double portal season over at Wahoo's 24/7. Jackie, I hope you caught your breath, but we're going to talk about some more portal stuff today.
I don't think you can really catch your breath this time of year. I mean, basketball portal closes, but things are still going to happen with visits and just recruiting. And then you've got this week for football in particular, you have transfer visitors in the early part of the week, and you got high school visitors over the weekend. So a lot of things happening.
It's just it's a really interesting time of the year in the college sports athletics landscape with, you know, like we said, the basketball portal closing, football's open until April 25th. That's this Friday. So it's a short 10-day window, but a lot of kind of stuff happens in that window. I mean, we've already seen the whole Nico Iamaliava situation that's come up. And, you know, obviously Virginia has been really busy in the portal so far. But before we go any further, and also it's NFL draft week. So that's kind of on the other end of the portal, on the other end of college sports, you got that going on. Jonas Sanker, obviously the biggest name for UVA. I guess real quick, any predictions? You think third or fourth round?
I think I've seen a lot of projections for him for third round lately. I saw someone project him in the third round to Detroit. So I think he's gained a lot of steam over the course of the last few months. He's performed well in everything he's done from, you know, obviously the combine, from the games, from what he did at pro day, from individual workouts. So I think Virginia has had some success, especially with some safeties in the NFL. So I feel like that there's that pedigree there too now. I could see him going in the third round.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of steam, like just going through the mock drafts, like you said. I think he's picked up some steam. I'm just a little, you know, being, you know, having done this where, you know, you're waiting all day for NFL draft picks to come and you've got the messages and the posts ready to go out and you're just like, all right, when's this guy coming off the board? Virginia's had a lot of guys that you felt like, all right, maybe these guys have picked up some steam and they could go pretty early, and then they just kind of fall down the board. You look at Malik Washington last year going all the way in the sixth round, Dontavian Wicks the year before that in the fifth round. So Jelani Woods was the last guy that went in the third round back in 2022. So I guess, and even before that, Bryce Hall kind of, he slid all the way down to the fifth round. So it'll be interesting to see just where Jonas comes off. And he's kind of unique in this because we're going to talk about the transfer portal in just a second, but he's a guy that obviously from Charlottesville, was there for 4 years. And, you know, fans are constantly saying, you know, there's no kind of, you know, player that you can kind of follow their track record. So maybe there's less interest in the NFL draft now for a college fan's perspective. But with a guy like Jonas, that's kind of why fans used to have interest in the NFL draft.
I mean, he's a guy from Charlottesville, chose to stay home. I mean, his brothers are still involved with UVA, the UVA program through CAF Futures. So there's a lot of connection there, right? So a lot of people are involved and interested in where he goes. And to your point earlier, I think Jonas is kind of in the same trajectory as Jelani Woods, if you want to say. There's more intrigue kind of like in that NFL process. I believe I wasn't covering UVA when Bryce Hall went through the draft, but I was covering Florida. I remember, if I remember correctly, he was hurt towards the end of the year. So that could also affected his draft stock at that point, you know, and even, you know, other guys like Dontavian Wicks, you know, when he didn't have the best of seasons leading up to the NFL draft. And the only one that I was shocked was Malik Washington. I know some people were dinged about his size, But that was something that I was actually a little shocked about. I think Jonas Senker is one of those guys that I could see why he's picking up steam. I mean, if you look at UVA's games last year, you can point to the game in Pitt that it was Jonas Senker who won that game in several instances. So I think it's a little different with him, I want to say.
Yeah, it just felt like the other guys got picked kind of towards the latter end of their range, as opposed to kind of the higher end of their range, where like Jelani Woods went. Man, and there was even talk with, second round for Jelani Woods, so he wasn't even up kind of where some had projected him as a possibility. But yeah, we'll see where Jonas comes off the board. But that was a quick side tangent. Let's get into the portal now. And I wanted to start with this because this has become really big on the basketball side of it, not as much on football because we already had kind of the winter portal, but I know there's some cases. It's just this rush of players the last second here as the portal closes for basketball to get all these players in there without any eligibility left. Like they have played 5, 6, 4 years, and they're just kind of going in there on a hope and a prayer because we've got so much kind of hanging over the heads in college football with the house settlement, that's possibly going to allow for 5 years of playing. I did see Mitt Winter, who does a lot of college sport athletics law stuff, say the athletes who use their last year of eligibility in 24-25 would not be eligible for this new rule. So you still have like all these cases out there, and we'll kind of see how that all shakes out. And then you got the lawsuits with, some of the Duke football players. There's a football player at Rutgers that has a lawsuit going on. So people are trying to see what's happening with that stuff. It's kind of crazy. And I know there's a ton of great jokes about, people that have been out of it for like 15 years are looking for their extra year of eligibility now, like Robbie Hummel and Tyler Hansbrough, maybe Kyle Guy. I think he joked about it. Maybe he has another year to come back, but it's weird, and it makes this portal season just a tick more confusing, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been confusing since the changes have been unilaterally changed every year. I mean, all the rules, I mean, you just to go back to the first time the portal came about, you had one set of rules, right? And then you had a new set of rules in the next year. And now we're thinking about a new set of rules that aren't even finalized because the judge kind of tossed the ball forward. They expect the news to come within the next week, but still, you're like, I even asked Tony Elliott, how do you do that? How do you process things. How do you plan for the future when you don't know what the future looks like? You're seeing even now in the portal when for football, they're adding, walk-ons are going into the portal because they're trying to cut their roster down to 105. So preemptively, when this will be kind of grandfathered in, we don't know because that's something the judge mentioned. So a lot of things are changing. And with this 5-year eligibility, it all started because of the Pavia lawsuit in the JUCO area where he was able to get 1 year of eligibility, which that confuses that side too, because you got Wallace Enyamba. I know we're talking basketball, but I'm just bringing up that idea. Wallace Enyamba is a JUCO kid, but because his eligibility didn't end last year, he is not eligible for that extra year, right? So you're thinking, okay, well, that changed. So now these basketball guys are going in because they're trying to see if they can kind of sneak in an extra year. And to be fair, you're probably going to get more money in NIL than you would be starting your pro career, either going to the G League, either going to Europe, or, so you want to try for the extra year in NIL, try to do that. And also with the rev sharing coming up, this is the last ditch effort from agents and players to get these huge numbers that we've been hearing, right? So you're seeing a lot of these decisions. I mean, you could see with UVA, right? The UVA got a couple of commitments, one right after the other, without any visits, because agents were like, all right, let's negotiate, let's get this done. I guess let's just get this commitment done, right? Let's get that rev sharing done. Because basketball could very well go into the summer with some of these decisions because the way they laid the portal, and you don't have to, wait till they're on, to enroll like in January. The same goes with football. So you're seeing these decisions and all these happen quicker because you're trying to beat that judge's decision and that July implementation.
Yeah, there's a lot just kind of riding on that house settlement. So there's a huge rush right now just to kind of get in before that. I'll be happy when all that's kind of settled and the dust kind of settles with that. I mean, you talked about the
Good to
10,
know. Yeah.
you talk about the 105 roster rule, and I know there's a lot of talks about, that's going to kind of be, gradually brought in. There's going to be a transition period, but we don't know that for sure. And Tony Elliott kind of said, there's no point in kind of worrying about something that we don't know the results of yet. And that's really kind of where things stand right now. It's wild. And then you got all these different lawsuits and stuff right now. It just it make brings a whole other layer to the transfer portal that I didn't need. let's get into it though,
And I
because
always tell people, yeah. No, I was gonna say it could have been solved like 10 years ago when that one kicker for UCF just wanted to make money off his YouTube. Like,
yeah.
I always think back that was kind of like the trigger point of this all this, right? That one kicker UCF who just wanted to make money off YouTube. If we had settled it all back then, this whole mess would have probably been averted.
That seems so simple now, just thinking back to
Yeah.
that. Like, that would have been so easy. But let's get into it, because UVA and Tony Elliott and the crew have been busy this past weekend. And I'll start with the guy you mentioned before, Wallace Unamba. Interesting story here. Obviously, he was in the transfer portal back in the winter, coming out of New Mexico, played for Bronco Mendenhall for that last season, started 10 games, allowed 0 sacks. That's the big stat with him as an offensive tackle. Then he was kind of between Virginia and Kentucky, chose to go to Kentucky after the spring, back in the portal. Virginia, hey, we just lost our, big money offensive tackle in the portal in Monroe Mills, who's out probably for the season with an ACL injury. So, here in comes Wallace Unamba, but kind of talk about him and just kind of this interesting transfer portal story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you've been following Virginia Portal, you've recognized his name right away when he entered the portal in the spring. So Virginia first approached him pretty quickly in the portal in the winter. He had a connection with defensive tackle Jason Hammond. I believe it was a family member that they trained together with and now in South Florida. So they had that connection, and actually Jason Hammond was involved in the recruitment in the last time. And it seemed like everything was trending Virginia in the winter, right? Everyone thought that this was a recruitment that was going to end up with him at Virginia. So then he visited Kentucky right after visiting UVA. And even after that visit of Kentucky, if you talk to sources connected to UVA and you talk to sources connected to Kentucky, you always thought that UVA was going to be the final destination. And then he ended up signing with Kentucky. And then you fast forward to the spring and you realize where he was on the depth chart in Kentucky. And then Virginia was in a situation where they lost Monroe Mills to a torn ACL for the rest of the year. So obviously he's going to miss next season. And then you had Blake Steen enter the portal, although I could see that they were trying to think of possibly moving him to guard. You had that open at tackle. So Virginia had to go back in the portal. When Wallace Unamba went in the portal, what best fit for both? Parties, you already had a visit, so you didn't have to visit it again. You were a close second in your recruitment. Everyone knew the agreements were all agreed on. So it was a quick turnover, right? So Wallace Unamba was able to bring in, and it's really good for them because if you look at Wallace Unamba's accomplishments prior to him getting to Kentucky, I mean, he didn't allow 1 sack when he was at New Mexico after starting 10 games last fall. And if you looked at Virginia's and what, that offensive line had to deal with last year, you can see that, this is what they want, especially if a new quarterback under center. So getting him, getting that experience, and getting that depth back, because they worked so hard in getting depth in the trenches, to then to see one or two players already kind of sneak out. Tyshawn Wyatt missed spring. He's expected to be back. But I mean, you saw those numbers quickly, diminish. So adding him was big. And obviously Virginia's not done. I expect him to add one more in the trenches, but that was a big get to like kick off the O-lines, recruiting.
Yeah, it's an interesting name. It was a natural fit as soon as he kind of entered the portal. Like you said, Virginia was all over him. Where do you kind of see him fitting into this picture now? Because obviously Mills was kind of like, that was, you stick him in one spot and then you worry about the other spot later. You've got Mikhail Boley coming back. You've got Tyshawn Wyatt. You've got Jack Whitmer, who played some snaps last year at tackle. Where does Wallace Unamba kind of fit on this offensive line?
I think right now you kind of see him at right tackle. I think that's probably where you saw Monroe Mills kind of go. So I would say he's there right now. I think the great thing about Tyshawn Wyatt, he is versatile. He's played a little bit of tackle, a little bit of guard. I believe prior to his injury, he was playing a little bit of guard.
Yeah.
So you can see kind of the shifting there. I think Kevin Wigginton is also experienced in several positions, but I think he's going to be more of an inside guy. Obviously, Brady Wilson's going to be center. And I think the left tackle, you have Jack Whitmer and Mikhail Boley. They both have experience there. And then you got Drake Metcalf that could possibly slide into right guard and be a backup center if needed under Brady Wilson. Obviously, no, Hartzell's back. So you're seeing a little bit more of the pieces of that O-line of having at least two healthy O-lines, which has not been the case for Virginia. I think Terry Heffernan said he wants more O-line be able to play and game ready this year. And he could see playing like 8, 9, 10 guys in that first game.
Yeah, and I guess the question now is, what do they target, I guess, next on the offensive line? The numbers I heard coming into the spring transfer portal window is they wanted to add at least two, maybe three guys, kind of seeing what was available out there. So they added the one guy, kind of the most crucial piece in kind of filling that Monroe Mills spot. So where else could they go on the offensive line?
I think they'll probably try to add another tackle. I think at guard, you can look at what they have, and I think they're actually pretty comfortable at guard if you
Yeah.
look where they are. I think the inside is pretty good, especially once they really got a transition ready for center. If you look at center for Virginia, this is the first time you can actually see a trajectory of what's next. You have Brady Wilson, Drake Metcalf could play center or guard. But then you have Noah Hartzell and Grant Ellinger. So you have actually like a class deciphering, like there you go. You have one guy, then you have the next guy, you have the next guy. That's the first time I've seen that for Virginia in a little while when you have scholarship players like that lined up. So I think you're gonna see them possibly add a tackle. They actually have a tackle visiting currently on grounds. So you're going to see possibly them open it up to that. And I mean it's also best player available, right? So if you have a guard in the portal that you say, okay, no, this guy we have to go all in, you're going to do that. But right now, I think Virginia's going to focus on tackle.
Let's go to the next spot that was kind of the probably even bigger need for them this going
Yeah.
into this offseason was the
Right.
secondary. I mean, that secondary was depleted, and I think everyone kind of saw that in the spring game when you've got, some different guys working in some different positions out
Right.
there. I mean, they had to move Miles Brown between safety and linebacker because you're trying to fill some spots there. Jordan Robinson, cornerback commit from Cincinnati, previously was at Kentucky, so another Kentucky tie-in this transfer portal season. Huge, 6'4", 210 pounds. To me, he feels like he can play on the outside, but he could also play that nickel spot for UVA.
Yeah, I think he's primarily going to be the outside corner. I think they were recruiting him as a guy. To be fair, Coach Rudd and Coach Cox love getting themselves some versatile corner or versatile DBs because they need that, right? But I think for recruiting purposes now and just how you lay out your depth chart, I would put him on the outside because that was the crucial position that they needed. They needed it before Jam Jackson got hurt in the spring. I mean, if you looked at numbers before that injury, you were like, yes, they needed to add one or two corners just prior to the injury. After that injury, you're thinking, okay, you can see two or three in a corner position, especially when Dre Walker has not had a full season where he has been healthy on grounds. So you always have that in the back of the mind. Kudos to Corey Cosner, who came in and was able to play as a true freshman in the spring, several different positions, including he moved inside to nickel, which is the other position Virginia needed depth to, right? So I think right now, when you have him and Jason Brevard as some good options outside, with even Jason Brevard moving from nickel to corner because that was his more comfortable position. So I think now you're creating the depth. Are they done? Obviously, they're not. They're going to
No.
need to add more in that secondary. They're going to add, they need to add more depth in that nickel position. I think that's something that me and you actually talked about on one of the podcasts that I felt like they lacked the numbers there. So you're going to add possibly another safety and a corner prior to this portal window closing.
Well, and that's a position that we talked about before. Like, that's kind of what's your cup of tea that season? Like, what kind of nickel do you want? Do you want more of a Corey Thomas line, hybrid linebacker safety kind of nickel, or do you want, more of a, a corner type? I guess you could think back to Tavon Kyle, who was in that position. Something more like a corner in that nickel spot. And, they've got some other guys coming in. But yeah, you mentioned the numbers right now. Robinson coming in, Jason Brevard on the outside, Dre Walker, who we're still again waiting to see if he can put a healthy season together. Then they've got some really intriguing freshmen coming in too, along with Corey Costner, who was here for this spring, and Josiah Persinger and CJ Spence. So we'll see how this cornerback room shakes out. I know they want to add at least one or two more guys. Safety, again, they want to add something there as well. So yeah, I think they've got some, kind of guys lined up to come in and visit, right?
They do. They have two guys set to visit this week. And so it's they have the Wyoming Rook Brown. He's meant to be visiting. And then they have the Army corner. I blank on his first name, but
Donovan Platt, yeah.
Donovan Platt, he's also set to visit. And they're also talking to several others. They're not going to put all their eggs in one basket, right? Because this is an important position that they can't miss out on right now. Excuse me, I have allergies. So this is something that they understand is a weakness in their defensive room. So they're just targeting them really, really hard. So you got two visiting early this week. And then right now, as you know, Preston, the transfer portal visit, lock dates kind of change as the wind blows. So
Yeah.
I usually check in 24 hours before. So after today, we'll check in for the next few days.
Yeah.
But those are the guys that are kind of they're keyed on right now. And then obviously, like I said, high school recruiting kind of takes center stage over the weekend as well. And coaches are on the road as well. So you kind of have to kind of finagle all these visit schedules and all this stuff as you're dealing with high school recruiting because you can't get behind on that. Because then that gives you another can of worms that you have to deal with. But as of right now, those are the main targets. And I think Virginia is in a good place with those guys currently.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be managing any coach's calendar right now. It just seems like a logistical nightmare. But the last guy, oh, actually, before we hit miss on this, the 6'4 frame and Jason Brevard, 6'3, Dre Walker is even, I think he's listed as 6'1. Is that
Right.
right?
Right. That's what
Long
they aim
rangy
on.
corners. Yeah, like that is, and that's something that last year, you had Kimpton Shine, who was a solid corner, but he was a little bit on the smaller side. And they've had some smaller corners in the past. And because of that, we saw last year they were giving receivers a ton of space because they didn't have the length and athleticism to really close down on those guys. And so you're seeing everyone was getting so fed up early in the season with, these, 10-yard pass routes that they're giving up and people are getting easy first downs. And I had Anthony Johnson, a former long athletic corner, on the podcast to talk about that. And he was saying, no, we didn't have to do that because we had me and Fentrell Cypress. And so I think they're trying to get back to having some of those more long rangy corners now as this is kind of the height, the prototype.
Yeah, well, to be fair to Virginia, so when they recruit high school athletes, you saw what they wanted. And they
Yeah.
like long, rangy guys. And when you talk to Coach Cox, Coach Rudd, and you ask them why did you were intrigued by Corey Cosner, why you were intrigued by any other thing, they always say, well, his length and his athleticism. They always mention length first, right? But when you're in the portal and you're trying to get guys from the portal, you don't have the luxury of getting everything on your checklist. So Virginia was able to find the best of the guys that they were able to get, and that was Kevin Shine and Jam Jackson. To be fair, Kevin Shine, he had a pretty solid season.
He did, yes.
I think he was one of the most underrated DBs for Virginia because of all the stuff that was going on in other areas. I think he was kind of underrated for the Cavs. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the prototype from the beginning, that's who they wanted.
Yeah, it's in. They got it in spades now with a 6'4", 6'3" corner, 6'1". Even the guys coming in have a lot of length too and athleticism. So be interesting to see just kind of how that develops. With these guys coming in now, one of the more interesting names because it has so many other ramifications that I can't wait to get into, Jackie, was Isaiah Augustov, the running back from Colorado. He was the Buffalo's leading rusher with 384 yards and four touchdowns. Mind you, if there's one thing we all know about Colorado is they have not had good offensive line play for the last couple seasons. Not saying Virginia has, but be that as it may, he also had four touchdowns on the ground. Former four-star recruit, 6'2", 210 pounds, originally was at Arkansas. We heard from Keith Gaither that, they were kind of still sifting through to see who was going to be that third running back. I think they found a pretty good one here in Augustov.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, a 6'2" running back. How much times do you see a 6'2" running back, right, with his
Yeah.
frame? No, this was a very good get by Virginia. I mean, they needed depth at running back. I mean, I think that was one of the positions where when you looked, you saw a need because that's one of the prime positions that you will get injuries on because just the way your body is just exposed to so much. I mean, Jamari Taylor was excellent addition in the winter portal because he has shown an ability to stay healthy. But obviously, we have not seen Xavier Brown be healthy for a complete year. So, distributing just the amount of reps between three bodies is going to be crucial for Virginia because, in the end, it's a long season. I mean, the bye weeks aren't great where Virginia is kind of stacked up there. I mean, their second bye week is just before the Virginia Tech game before the end of the season. So, having him there, I mean, he's a very, very talented back. I mean, I will say, Virginia won in just the recruiting battle there, but I want to say they won the PR recruiting battle. I mean, that was just quick promotion of the program, right? I mean, I haven't seen social media light up for Virginia football quite like this in a while. And that was just free publicity. That kudos to Adam Mims and Terry Heffernan for quickly bouncing on that in the social media and like basically teasing what was coming. I mean, Virginia kind of sealed the deal pretty quickly on that visit. So it was just kind of waiting until this was became official. Thanks to NCAA for filing that paperwork on Easter Sunday, by the way.
I know, right?
I didn't think the NCAA would file paperwork on Easter Sunday, but I was very wrong. But yeah, that was I think this recruitment will be a good one for Def because obviously they lost Dante Hunter from Doom due to medical reasons, so he's not going to play. He's still part of the program, and you can see him around. He's still around the team, but he's not part of the team roster. So they needed to add a body from there because they needed an extra guy there. So they have, actual guys that have played games, have stayed healthy with, Noah Vaughn not being healthy, but also just bringing more eyes to the program. I mean, having Deion Sanders, one of the most vocal people in college football, talk about Virginia. And I know people are like, well, Jackie, they're talking about tampering. I'm like, well, I mean, it's college football in this day and
Who
age. I
isn't
mean,
these days?
agents are talking to agents now. I mean, it is what it is, right? But you're saying now, hey, Virginia's playing the game. That team in the ACC, they're in it now. They want to win. They have bought into this new college football world. They're playing the game now. So check out the program. And look, he chose Virginia after visiting Virginia. I mean, this is helping the program more. So I guess you should send flowers to Deion Sanders after this. But yeah, no, this recruitment was a good win for Virginia in multiple facets.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick on just kind of the running back room situation. Someone said it best, you know, just like, oh, Xavier Brown, Jamar Taylor. I really like that two-man combination. But like you said, like, look at the Virginia Tech game last year. You were converting a wide receiver the week of to play some more running back snaps, and like that's the situation you were in. You were bare bones on that running in that running back room. You don't want to get to that point. So having three really, steady, explosive players in this room. I mean, Agustave, at the end of the day, he's going to add a different dynamic to this team as a bigger running back. And I know Jamari Taylor has some, kind of physicality to his running game, and that's what coaches really liked about him, his ability to, break tackles. At but he's only 5'9". He's a smaller back. So 6'2" gives you a different look out there, and really complements, I think, what they have with Xavier Brown, Jamari Taylor, now Isaiah Gustav. Let's get into Coach Prime now, because you kind of went on and into it, and I'm gonna set it up here because I want to play exactly what Coach Prime Deion Sanders said in this video that has gone viral now, and has gotten Virginia a lot of national attention. So let's play that real quick.
Call get over the bank. What call that? What's the school? What's the school over here today? Virginia, what the camera? Virginia, you gotta stop. I let you have one. I ain't say nothing about it. Come on now. Come on. We let you have one. I ain't say nothing about it. Maybe it's another brother.
Jackie, I don't know about you. I was sitting in a, Maundy Thursday church service when I started getting this video sent to me over and over and over again. I was like, the same process went through my head. I was like, oh man, he's calling UVA about tampering. And then I was like, oh wait, he's calling out UVA about tampering. Like you said, you could not have pitched a more perfect PR battle win for this era of college football right now. This is what Virginia kind of need. It shows, hey guys, we're playing the game. Like, we'll go up against Deion Sanders for, such and such player. And it was interesting because obviously now we knew at the time, but it's now very public that Isaiah Gustav was the player that he was referring to when he was saying that, I let you have one, didn't say nothing about it. It's hilarious to me. I've love this kind of dialogue in the off season, but like you said before, great PR win for Tony Elliott. I know that he probably doesn't want a PR win like this, but it's good to have one like this.
Yeah, I mean, it fired up the fan base, right? That was the
Yeah.
most I've seen the fan base riled up after, probably the basketball coaching search. So
Yeah.
this was really a big thing for the fans because they've always lamented that they didn't think UVA was a program that has bought into football, right? That's been a big thing among, UVA's fans and especially on social media. And seeing that, I remember reading the message boards when that was happening, and people were just so hyped that they're
Yeah.
like, oh, Virginia went and got, a kid that they wanted, and Deion Sanders calling us out. Let's do a home and home with Colorado. That's what they were trying to do. Just ignited the fan base. And I think also, I mean, it was kind of like a bat signal, right? In its own way, because now people were excited that Virginia was going to get a commitment too. I mean, you got Adam Mims, you had Terry Heffernan. Adam Mims says, the gift says, are you a victim? And then the other one was like, watch out for early next week. So
Yeah.
now people are excited. It's like, oh, who's going to be the player? And obviously, you go back and we had talked about on Wise 24/7 that he was visiting. So all the pieces were all coming together around that. So it was definitely a hyped up UVA fan base. And it's still going on now because they're like, oh, who's the next player that's coming?
Yeah, and it was so funny because, like you said, the name of Gustav had kind of been out there. People like that are really into their Virginia recruiting kind of knew it. And then as soon as the Deion Sanders video hit, everyone was like, "Who is this kid?" Like, and it's, obviously, this is gonna it's kind of gonna be attached to him as he kind of goes through his Virginia
Right.
career now that he was like, "Oh, this is the kid that Virginia took from Colorado." I did want to say real quick just about tampering and stuff in general. I think there's still, obviously, there's tampering everywhere, but I think there's a misunderstanding because in this situation and a lot of these situations, this is all the agents are so prevalent now in college
Right.
football. Like a lot of this is going through agents. So if a kid has an agent and a team has a need, usually agents are talking and fielding offers for different players. That's kind of how it works now. And that's how, to a certain extent, UVA got Monroe Mills back in the winter transfer window. We talked about the do not contact tag at the time, but a lot of this is just backroom agent stuff that I think people are getting used to in college football. I know coaches from talking to them, they're getting used to talking to agents and the different kinds of agents that are out there now.
Yeah, it's definitely a new world, even for, as a reporter covering it as well. You're kind of getting a different angle. I mean, I never covered the NFL, but I'm getting a glimpse of how it is covering it during the free agency period. So yeah, it's just really about agents kind of fielding interest to see where things are going. And then, sometimes it's not even about, you mentioned no contact tag. Sometimes no contact tag means they're about to go to one particular place. They already know it. Or sometimes in the case of Isaac McNealy, where he's already narrowed down the top five places that he's been talking to right before he went into the portal. So yeah, I mean, it's the new age. I mean, is it tampering? I mean, technically it's not,
Yeah.
because the coaches never talk to the player. The player never talk to the staff. I mean, if the agent's talking to the, I mean, it is what it is.
There's no rules governing this. Like the
No.
NCAA did not have bylaws written in place for kind of how agents operate behind the
And I mean, didn't
scenes.
the NCAA also yesterday, I was trying to read Dellinger's story.
Yeah.
Didn't they just take away lots of the red tape again? So, I
Yeah.
mean, what are the
But
rules now?
at
It's
this
like, what is
point,
the catch in a game?
they're throwing their hands up. They have no fight in this. They have no dog in this fight at this point.
No,
But
no.
it's just, yeah, I did not have the Deion Sanders calling out, UVA as on my bingo card for this offseason. I don't think anyone did. But interesting. I hope we do get that home and home because I have been out to Colorado before. Boulder's beautiful. It's I think that'd be an interesting matchup down the line. Let's take a quick break here. We'll get into kind of the rest of the football portal. We've kind of talked about some of it. Then a quick look at the hoops portal because that's still going on, although it's been very quiet at JPJ lately. I know they got some visits coming up, but we'll talk about that next on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
All right, welcome back in. Jackie Franchulli still here with me. We're going through this transfer portal season right now as, the basketball portal window is starting to close, although, still a lot of big decisions to be made out there. I know a lot of the key names have kind of come off the board, but Virginia's still got a roster to put together. But let's focus on football because that's going to wrap up on Friday as far as players going into the portal. Virginia had we've talked about some of the guys that have gotten into the portal from Virginia, Blake Steen, then most recently Gavin Frakes, the third string quarterback. The Blake Steen one, and I talked about this last week on the podcast, I believe, but I obviously, there was a reason that, they brought in Monroe Mills and Tyshawn Wyatt and Kevin Wigginton, all these guys that kind of play on the right side of the offensive line, where Blake Steen has seen most of the action, either at right tackle or, maybe possibly moving inside to right guard. And so it kind of seemed natural that he'd be one of the guys to enter the portal. And, it's a loss as far as experience, but I think Virginia is kind of well versed in kind of replacing him.
Yeah, I think even prior to the winter portal, you kind of saw what the plan was. And even during like the initials of spring portal, of spring practice, rather, when you saw how they were lining up prior to Monroe Mills' injury, you saw that they were kind of intrigued about moving to Blake Steen back inside, right? Because when he first got to Virginia, the idea was he would play guard, right? He wouldn't play tackle. But he got moved to tackle because guess what? Injuries. And then he kind of stayed there because he was being productive in what they needed, and they didn't have anyone else. Last year, you saw them playing Steen at right tackle, but you also saw Jack Whitmer kind of rotating in at right when Mikhail Boley was healthy and kind of moving from right and left. So you already saw that they were trying to move away from Blake Steen at tackle and moving him possibly to guard. And then this year, you saw that they had more options. So Blake Steen went from being the starter to kind of moving down the depth chart. So that was kind of, you understood why, and you already felt that that was a big possibility.
Another interesting kind of dynamic with the whole Coach Prime situation is he was visiting with Colorado. I think he also took a visit to
Yes.
Mississippi State. We didn't mention that part of it. So there's, some talk about, well, you got one of our, we got one of yours, but you might get
Yeah.
one of ours.
Right.
And then Gavin Frakes, the other one. Look, Virginia, obviously they bring in Chandler Morris, they bring in Daniel Kalen. They've got really highly touted freshman quarterback coming in and Bjorn Jorgensen. They also have Cole Gear coming in. They had Grady Brosterhouse already in-house. So for Frakes, it's kind of using your 2 years of eligibility and trying to find somewhere where you can get some playing time going forward.
Yeah, that wasn't shocking as well. I
Yeah.
mean, Virginia is also recruiting a second quarterback in this high school recruiting class as well. So the numbers weren't, I mean, he saw the writing on the wall. And Daniel Kalen has been doing really well in spring practice. So obviously, you could see how this quarterback room is kind of shaping up with Chandler Morris, Daniel Kalen, and then you've got, Bjorn Jorgensen. So you can kind of see what this room looks like. So again, like, it's not surprising. And it doesn't hamper the numbers. It's not something like Virginia's like, oh no, I got to get a quarterback now. That doesn't give you urgency because the numbers are fine.
I guess in it really, you hope you never have to see the third quarterback during a
Right.
season.
Right. You don't want to see the third quarterback. But it's always good to have the third quarterback.
Yeah.
Because when you don't plan for it. But yeah, Virginia's in a good quarterback situation right now. I mean, Grady Brosterhouse has had more playing time, right? He's
Yeah.
so yeah, so they're in the good spot. I'm not That's the one position that I'm not too concerned of when it comes to
No,
numbers.
they have a good pipeline kind of development, how that's going to go and how that's going to work out over the next couple of years, as long as barring any transfers or unexpected things.
Exactly.
We talked about it before, obviously offensive line, adding another offensive tackle, secondary, probably what, one, two more corners, maybe a safety. Is that the kind of the numbers we're thinking right now?
Yeah, so scholarship numbers are a little bit. I know I keep a scholarship chart on my house 24/7,
Can you?
and I'll be updating. Well, I try my best. I'm updating it today because I haven't updated anything from Easter Monday. From Sunday. Sorry, everybody. Yesterday was kind of like I needed to relax a little bit
Yes.
after hosting everything Saturday and Sunday for Easter. But Yeah, so I'm updating the chart. So it's a little interesting when you look because they're over the 80, I guess, over the 85 limit. They're not 85 limit right now. But the SEC has put 85 scholarship limit according to next season. The ACC has not done so. Nothing has been said that they will do so in the future. So we're playing at this that you, if, once the roster limit comes to 105, that means you could possibly have 105 scholarships, but you don't have to have 105 scholarships, and you can even have partial scholarships. So you're going to go towards the baseball and softball and how they kind of parse out their scholarships. So I mean, they're over 85. And I mean, there's other ways you can go. If you're trying to stick to 85, you can do, walk-on status, and you can finagle NIL to kind of pay for the rest. But just numbers wise, you would get one more offensive lineman and one offensive tackle. You get one more corner or one more safety. It's kind of like your bare bones of what I expect. Virginia was playing around with look tight ends too. That was something I've noticed. They were, talking to tight ends and seeing, where things stand. And they always have this philosophy that if you're a good player and you're interested in coming to Virginia, we're not going to say no. I mean, we saw that with a few guys that they went after, and who they visited as well. So if there's a good edge rusher that said, "Hey, I want to come to Virginia," and if they're good, they're not going to say no if they have the, I guess, the budget for the in the team. So, but right now, I would say one corner, one safety, one offensive tackle would be where the bare bones of what they need moving
That's
forward.
the bare minimum. But yeah, like you said, Tony Elliott, you got to look at the opportunity cost and see if like there's something that you could add. I mean, they had the Stanford wide receiver who eventually went to Texas. He was visiting, and when you would say, I mean, especially him, I think he is more of like a slot kind of guy. And you're like, you're looking at the Virginia slot receiver position. Like, you got Zadarian Harrison, you got Cam Courtney, you got Josiah Abdullah, Cam Ross can play a little bit there. So, like, they're pretty well stacked at wide receiver. But hey, if it's a talented guy that's interested in Virginia, absolutely, you should take a look at it at least.
Correct, correct. And that's why they were so intrigued, especially with how many years of eligibility he still had left, right? So, and coming from Stanford, that helps out a lot when you're dealing with admissions too. So,
Easy transition, yeah.
right. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's always been the philosophy. I always tell people, listen, numbers will always work out. Don't worry. Everyone knows how to work the numbers. But yeah, I think they can add at least three. I was told six players in total. That was kind of like their benchmark. So they've already got half of that.
Yeah, and after the crazy numbers you added in the winter portal window, you don't need to add much
Yeah.
more. You're just trying to, obviously they missed out on the corner and defensive back room in the winter portal, so they're trying to target that. You had the injury with Monroe Mills, and then you're like, all right, well, we need another running back to add to the room too. So it all kind of made sense in the end. All right, let's get into basketball now. It has been far too quiet over at JPJ after that little flurry of transfers that they got there. I had who's got next on last week. We kind of talked about some of the stuff that UVA's got coming up next in the shadows. Houston wing Terrence Arsenault visiting this week. They've been mentioned with a few more bigs because I know everyone is driving themselves crazy anytime anyone under the height of like 6'8" comes on a visit to UVA right now. So they've been mentioned with a couple different guys, Kansas State's Ugonna Onyeso, and then Texas Tech's Federico, who you might remember from Pitt. And it's interesting because they got probably about 4 to 5 more spots. Maybe I think the scholarship limit might go up to 15 for basketball, so you might have 6. But I think definitely 4 to 5 is kind of what Virginia is going to be targeting to kind of fill out the rest of this roster for next season.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they even had Passmore who visited last week, and then he visited Miami. And it's interesting because some of these guys we talked about early on in the show how some guys are rushing so they can get in before the rev share and all that stuff, and agents are pushing that. And you have a guy like a Passmore who I was talking to sources just this morning, and they felt that Miami was the favorite. Even after Virginia visit, they felt Miami was the favorite because they had a long relationship between the two of them. And then he visited Miami and he still remains uncommitted, unsigned as of right now. So the longer time you have stretches between visits, that's when you start thinking, okay, what's going on? Is he going to go back to the first school that he visited? He never made it to Tennessee. And I know talking to the source this morning, Ohio State is a school that came in late. So, and then they say, well, Virginia is still in it. but you're just still trying to see where things are. And then obviously, Arsenal is visiting Virginia right now. NC State was the favorite when when he was taking a visit. So now you're thinking he's taking the visit to Virginia. That was always something that we were trying to see if he was going to take the visit. So taking the visit, my source will say, well, now you have to pay attention to Virginia. So you have to see what those visits. So I think those are the two to look out right now. I think those are the most that you move forward. I mean, they're finally actually taking visits rather than just committing when signing. So you actually can see the same trajectory as football. The one thing I would say, covering the basketball portal is vastly different than covering the football portal, personally. Football is more of that formulaic still. You take a visit and then you kind of hear about like where they stand and then they sign. And then Virginia football files the paperwork. And then the portal it says it's signed. But for Virginia basketball, that's not the case. The last time I checked, they weren't listed as signed. So I know they have signed paperwork, but on the portal, it's still not listed as signed. And that's very different for me covering this.
Well, UVA hasn't announced any of the transfers so far, which is kind of weird because they committed, what's it been, 2, 3 weeks now almost?
It's been
Like,
2 weeks. Yeah.
it's
So
a.
usually I mean, women's basketball has announced each one, right?
Yeah,
And then
yes.
they've also listed them on sign in the portal. So it's very different how the program has chosen to run the portal.
Yeah, it's I'm still trying to figure out, and obviously it's a new coaching staff. They're kind of doing things a little bit differently. And even talking to who's got next, he was talking about, just the quietness of how like some of these signings, like you might get a name the day before because they're not taking visits, you're not getting kind of the normal flow that you would expect with a recruitment. And these kind of things just you pop up the night before, you have time to maybe look at one highlight video to see who they are and kind of do a little background research on them, and then boom, they commit the next day. And
Yeah, say they commit when my daughter has a dance class or when it's my daughter's birthday party. Yes, basketball has probably, personally, basketball has been the one that's been, if I am out anywhere, they will have a commitment.
Absolutely. That's when they like to do it. So I guess we'll see kind of how they fill out these last 4 or 5 spots in the portal. Obviously, you're going to think they're going to try to get two more centers in there, some additional guys on the wing, and then what we talked about before is this whole extra waiver, extra season of eligibility, all this stuff kind of floating out there. How many guys in the portal are trying to look for that right now? And so that might be tying up a ton of the portal right now, and kind of these guys finding new destinations because, like, look, you're not going to take a commitment from a guy that you don't even know is actually going to be on your roster next year, to kind of tie up all your resources. But Virginia, like, kind of from everything we've been seeing, like, they've been competitive financially, and I've heard even that 7 million figure, they've kind of gone past that now, the one that was reported early on from Matt Norlander. I think everyone is kind of gone past what their first numbers were because they're like, oh man, like this average Power Five starter now is getting $1 million because they're a Power Five starter.
I mean, it's just crazy out there. I mean, you hear all these numbers and you're trying to think like, is this factually correct? I mean, this is a lot for 1 year of eligibility. But yeah, and I think it goes back to our point earlier. Everything is in chaos because the home house sentiment, the rev sharing. Your hope, and I think athletic directors hope too, that this will all calm down once the house settlement passes, because then you don't have these agents pushing out these big numbers. Now, will those big numbers go away? No, but they're more third party. So you'll have, it's a lot of different rules now. I mean, with the house settlement, CAF futures wouldn't have direct contact with the recruits in a recruit negotiation matter. So it's a lot of things change.
It's interesting, and I am curious to see how quickly with the house settlement things kind of come into place. I mean, are we just like all cases that if players are looking for an extra eligibility are solved once the house settlement happens? No, that's not going to happen because there's different cases. Like some guys are saying that, I played a season of D2 basketball, so I should get an extra year of eligibility because that doesn't count. Which take that for what you will, but yeah, basketball portal is going to be interesting. And one other thing that I've heard from some people, and it makes sense because Ryan Odom has a long history with international prospects. You look back at VCU, and you look back before that at Utah State. Just to keep an eye on the international scene, we could they could be working some things there to see if some international guys come over and they're part of this roster for next year. Which I say in response to that, like I already had enough trouble like keeping up with the thousands of players in the transfer portal. I don't need the thousands of players playing over in Europe or Brazil or over in Australia or wherever they come from. Like it's hard enough to keep up with.
Yeah, it's hard enough to keep up too, but and then you have to have other it's other situations too with like the visas and trying to with everything going on there too. So it's a lot of other legwork that you have to kind of monitor.
It's certainly crazy season. Thankfully, the basketball portal at least closes, so now we don't have to worry about new guys coming up as often. I guess if coaching changes happen and stuff like that, that'll happen. But so it'll get a little bit lighter. But there's never really truly an off season in college sports now at this point. It's just kind of a year-round cycle.
Correct.
All right, Jackie, appreciate you coming on the Who's On podcast. That is it for this week. We will see you next time with a little bit more and kind of catching up and seeing where the Cavaliers are. But thanks for listening.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.